Welcome to Small Wins, a podcast for football enthusiasts looking to turn their passion into a successful brand, personal brand, or career. In each episode, you can expect actionable advice to help you build towards your big goals with the game you love. Join us as we explore the power of small wins, the process of building success, and, well, the fun of making mistakes along the way. Hello and welcome to episode 13 of Small Wins. I'm your host, Yvan Delia-Lavictoire, and today I'll be sharing a football conversation I had with the founders of Golasso Kits, Matteo and John. So for those who aren't familiar with Golasso Kits, it's a North American-based vintage football shop that is, both online and brick-and-mortar with their store in Miami. A lot has changed since we had these conversations, but trust me, if you're thinking of launching a side hustle in football, then this episode is just what you need. Sit back and enjoy this episode with Matteo and John. Should I add anything? I don't think I should add anything. I'll let you listen to the episode. Honestly, I love these guys, and I'll stop talking now so that you can enjoy this conversation. Today, or I should say tonight, I'm actually joined by a duo in Miami. A duo who I've not spoken to in, over a year or almost a year. And I believe that a lot has changed for them. So, they've obviously been able to channel in some of the kind of their passion for the game into what is a love for vintage shirts. I hope I'm using the right word for it. But without further ado, I'm welcoming Matteo and John to the football conversation. Hello, guys. How are you?
Hey, Ivan.
Hey, Ivan. I'm John. It's great to be here. Thank you for giving us the space.
Just to give you, we've spoken, but if you could give an introduction to people who might not know what you guys are about.
For sure. Take this one.
Yeah, absolutely. So so we're Golasso Kits. Golasso spelled with a C with a squiggly line on the bottom in Portuguese. Me and Matteo are both Brazilian. We found that to be a point of confusion sometimes.
Or French.
That's true. You guys use the same little thing, right?
Exactly.
So we're a vintage soccer store. We specialize in... Well, honestly, everything. We have a little bit of everything in our store. Everything from new to old, European, Central American, Asian. And I think that's where we differ. And that's what we set off to do, is try to find items that you wouldn't normally find in your average store.
So if we were to kind of rewind a little, how does that idea actually come into fruition? Like, how do you guys meet up at some point? Like, what happened?
It's a funny story because, this is the perfect place to tell the story. We were reunited by football. We were friends in elementary school in São Paulo, Brazil. I moved because of my father's work. So I ended up living in Mexico and in the US, and at the time there wasn't Facebook, MySpace, we just didn't keep in touch because of life, And I think, maybe 10 years later, through a friend of my parents, I get an email. At the time I was working at the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. I'm like, hey, there's this kid, like, he is great. He speaks 3-4 languages. He would love to work in football and soccer, and I work at the Strikers. Is there anything there? And I was able to introduce John to someone, and he got an internship, and we were neighbors and we didn't know it. So right then and there, like, our relationship was reignited again. We started talking again almost every week, then became every couple of days, and then we started talking every day. He went to work ended up working full-time for the Strikers. I worked full-time for the Strikers, and that's kind of how we reconnected. And then fast forward a couple of years later, John worked for IMG. When the Strikers folded, I went to work for USL. And when we're back, both of us here in Miami, the pandemic hit. And basically, you had an idea.
Yeah, the original idea for this project was actually to open a soccer-specific bar.
Okay.
And this was actually an idea I had with a different partner who isn't around anymore. But we were this close to signing like a 5-year lease, March of 2020. So like a week before the lockdown.
Wow. Good time.
And luckily the landlord, or I guess the owner of that space, ended up going with a different business, didn't choose us. And and then like a week later, lockdown is announced and all that. So that ended up being a blessing in disguise. And so because the idea was to open a soccer-specific bar, I had already been purchasing a lot of these jerseys to use as decoration. So I had all this inventory with me, and I told Mateo, hey, I think I'm going to start selling it online just to make some extra cash because, you know, I need it right now and, you know, get a name for myself going. So when I do open my bar at the end of all this, already have somewhat of a following. And Mateo loved the idea. He's a big collector himself. And told me, hey, you know, I have like 300-400 jerseys. More than half of them are just under my bed right now. The half of them, I don't even remember what they are. So let me throw some in there and let's see what happens. And let's see what happens. You know, started with 25 jerseys each. And then 25 became 50, 50 became 100. And now we're surrounded by about 2,000 jerseys a year and a half later. And
it's surreal.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. Yeah, to be honest, because we did it. I don't mean to sound like a humble brag or something, but we weren't that ambitious with this project in the beginning. But we were very motivated by the response and how excited other people were about the stuff that we were selling, you know. And I think that comes to something I mentioned earlier, is that we try to put stuff on sale that you won't find in your average store, you know. So it goes, obviously we have Manchester United, we have Barcelona, we have Bayern Munich, but we go so far beyond that. And so there's a little something for everyone.
That's amazing. Cause I like to say that, you know, sometimes, you know, we spend our time planning ideas and like writing down all these things, but sometimes, man, these things just happen and you just have to be able to recognize that opportunity and kind of seize it as it comes. And it, do believe that's what you guys have been able to do. You know, if
I think I've never was so like unsure of myself or of anything, like from the day like that we opened the business. Like the day that we opened the business was for me the day like, okay, we're committed to this. Mm-hmm. That was a scary freaking day. That was really scary. That was a scary day because like you're committing to this, like now it's time to, you know, close your mouth and do the work instead of do the talk. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that for both of us really motivated us was the conversation that we had was right in the early stages. I think we had started it not even a month when we started this. And the conversation we had was, hey, man, like just go out and do stuff. Like it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be, you know, super...
Yeah, like polished
and go out and put things out, and like that mentality that Ivan, you like me, like at least for us specifically, like the content that you've produced and the community that you've put together, like I can say 100% has pushed us to go where we are, because like I can wake up and see a message and say, hey man, like go and plot your content, go and do things, like there's no end to your football story. Go. I sometimes wake up when I don't want to say, like, you know what? No, I have to build my football story so that, and I get out of bed thinking of that. And that's something that you brought to the table. And I'm not saying that because we're talking right now in a recorded line. I would tell you this with a beer in my hand, and I'm always thankful for you for, you know, taking that call and opening the doors for us to this and everything that has come. And what I tell people is, like what John said, like, we didn't plan to be here a year and a half later. We're just here. And just go out, do something, even if you're putting yourself out there, even if you're insecure, but every single day you'll have a different problem to attack. And then every single day, something new will happen. Like we've been put in rooms and had to have conversations that we've never, ever thought we would have. Like I've had job offers based on this, you know, we've had people wanting to put money in the company because of this. So it's like, it's conversations that you would never have had if you wouldn't have gone out and built something. So putting yourself out there and executing those crazy ideas that you might have, it could well lead into something like this, you know? And that's what I think specifically you've been amazing to and been able to support. And I really wanted to start with that because it's something that I've wanted to tell you for a long time.
Listen, I'm getting a bit of goosebumps here, to be honest. Thank you so much. I appreciate the kind words. I think there's I want to say I helped you guys, and I am very humble when I say that. Like, I love that conversation, but at the same time, at the end of the day, like, you guys put in the work on a daily basis and didn't stop. And I remember when we had that initial conversation where, you know, we joke about that closet, but we were, I think, one, you, John, were in your room, or, you know, I saw the actual closet, right? And to look back and to kind of reflect on that and see what I'm seeing now, where we have, you know, you guys sitting in what I imagine is your store with over, what you said, 2,000 jerseys? 3,000?
Yeah, items to be more... Yes, because we also have scarves and all that.
So that's is, you know, absolutely remarkable. And I think there's just a testament of your hard work. And like you said, I don't think it's necessarily the easiest thing to do. I think it's also like a big personal challenge that everyone has to kind of go in and do the thing. But you guys have done it. So it's like, and you guys will keep doing it, I imagine. And I think that's the best part of what building a football story is about, because I think the challenge, like, I'll be personal here, but I think the challenge that I have about explaining what a football story is, that I think people kind of always associate that to like the classic storytelling about how I grew up loving the game. But I do feel that, you know, building a football story is literally kind of putting your energy, putting your passion, putting, you know, your upbringing as a football fan or as a football player or anyone who loves football, and turning that into something that is like a tangible item of service. In your case, it's an online shop with a store. That's what building a football story is. So it's quite remarkable to see. And again, thank you so much for the kind words. I really take that and appreciate it. You know, I think what I like about it is the spontaneity of it all, where you said that you had an opportunity to open a bar that didn't happen, and somehow like it led to another, well, you know, amazing idea that you guys have. So when you look at that, like, is there like a willingness to plan ahead now that you have this set up, or do you kind of want to go and test out and try more things as you go?
Yeah, so right now we've kind of been using the word store, but we're actually in an office right now. Okay. So this is more of a headquarters. It's not very friendly, let's say, for someone who comes visit. Obviously, we do have people come in, and we'd love to have people come see the jerseys in person. Most people go crazy when they see the stuff we have in person. But it really is an office more than a store. So in terms of planning ahead, I think that's like, it might be the number one thing we have right now is to have a storefront, to have a place that people can walk into comfortably with enough room to browse and have it look nice and feel like you're not just like in a small warehouse, you know, which is basically where we are.
Or at least some sort of somewhere that you can congregate and watch a game, see, you know, something that, like, I feel like the concept of storefront today is very outdated. So we've always talked about a concept that's very fluid and like doesn't necessarily have to be, oh, come in, come watch the store. But like maybe you have a couple jerseys here, everything else in the back, but you have a pool table or a video game or I don't know, a football table. And it's just like, that's another thing that we see. Like, we see a huge opportunity that it's been at least with the pandemic, at least 3 years that there's nowhere for people that like soccer in Miami to meet. It's unbelievable, Ivan. Like, how can you say in Miami tomorrow, you're going to, let's say there's Brazil, Argentina. You don't know where to watch.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like, you know, because you know, but I mean, there's no soccer bar, you know, a specific soccer bar to go watch a game like that. Like, I've literally have had days where, and happened to John, happened to other friends, that you go out to go watch a game and it's like, oh, we don't have the channel. We don't have this. We don't have that. I was like, wait, what do you mean? It's the Champions League, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So is that like, you know, not to go back on that bar idea, but is that like a something that you guys would like to have on top of what Golazo Kids is at the moment?
Yeah, maybe not strictly a bar in the traditional sense of the word, but we're definitely looking for a space where people can walk in and have a more fulfilling soccer experience. Not just, you know, look at the racks with the jerseys, make a purchase, yeah, and leave, you know.
And we're also like, we're really hard on ourselves, I feel like, because if you put everything into perspective, like what we're talking about right now, 5 months ago we were in John's closet, today we're in here, and we want to constantly push the envelope. But I think like we've been able to reach this kind of good like pace in sales and things coming in and clients and like content collabs that like we feel really good about where we are right now, but yeah, we are always looking to where to go, you know, and to do more things. And a lot of people reach out to us to do things with us, right? And they see the potential in this. So it's kind of a super fluid business model that can pivot in so many ways right now that we're just trying to figure that out, you know? It's just like off the top of my head and having conversation with people, like this could be a marketplace, like a StockX for jerseys. This could be a, one of those authenticity like verifiers, you know, that people that verify the authenticity of products. That's more like the eBay tennis shoe model too. I don't know. This could be a content platform for Latins and immigrants. And I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. It can be so many things. That's one of the most exciting things, but also one of the things we struggle the most with is, hey, like we've literally thought like, hey, if I give you $100,000 tomorrow, what would you do with it? It's not an easy question to answer.
Yeah. No, it's not.
It's not an easy answer, you know?
You talk about content, and I had a conversation actually with Pete Barton, who leads the creative team at Soccer Bible. He had a good thing to say about soccer shirts and jerseys in general. He's that for him, and I think for many of us, is the jersey is like the tangible item that represents everything about someone's football heritage and everything. So coming from that point, I did notice that you guys, from a content perspective, have really stepped it up, and hats off to you guys for really kind of setting the tone and setting the bar for yourself. But, you know, how challenging has it been for you guys to really build, a content strategy around, you know, finding these stories with jerseys that, like you said, are a bit more, they're not necessarily the top jerseys that everyone talks about, but they are researched and like curated shows that you guys have.
I have this sensation that there we can always do more, you know, and the reason because of that, Ivan, is because we have, I think, two fundamental big problems to solve here content wise. The first one is we have so much that people haven't seen. Okay. So there's so much that we have never put on Instagram, never taken a picture, never done anything about, that when people see, they're like, holy shit, I didn't know you had a Union Magdalena shirt from Venezuela. Well, yeah, it's been sitting here for a year.
Union Maracaibo.
Union Maracaibo, you know? Or, I don't know, there's like literally this rack right next to John right here right now. Mm-hmm. There's, I don't know, 70 shirts, but absurd finds. And we don't have, I guess, we're not comfortable with, or we haven't kind of cracked the code of having a super organized content calendar or being super organized on the content side. And it's because of, number one, our different realities in terms of like jobs and full time, like, but also there's just so much that we can talk about, so much that we could do, that I think we lack a little bit of focus in. Okay, you know, one thing, another thing that you said that you learned that you know, we consume your platform. And one thing that stuck with me in the conversation that you had with Lucas was, man, put a deadline or else you're not going to do it. You know, put a deadline, even though sometimes you don't want to put the newsletter. Sometimes even you're going to put a shit newsletter. It happens, but put the newsletter out, you know, put the newsletter out, put the photo out, schedule the photo, do it.
You know, how do you guys work knowing that? And, you know, obviously you have thousands of jerseys. So how do you come up with a consistent way to produce content that resonates with what you guys have in inventory?
So we have like a sensation of like doom that we're never going to be able to do enough content to show all of this. I mean, like just the last 2 months, I think we've added like 500 new shirts to the store that have so many different amazing stories and are so beautiful that people have never seen. And that's kind of, I think we've been lacking some focus, at least, and I can take fault on this because the content side is like how we divide the work is John does more like the operational side and I do more of the content side. And that was like a natural division too, which was nice. And
yeah,
was,
never spoke
like,
about it once.
Never spoke about it. Like it just happened. And it ends up working well. And I feel like on the content side where we could be better, I would like to have more meat, you know, to our content. Like I wish we could, again, it's a planning issue and something that we've learned from like your sessions. For example, when we were speaking with Lucas, he's like, man, put a deadline. Like, even though if you're going to put out a shitty newsletter, put out the deadline. But sometimes we joke, we're like, oh, look, I just threw a picture up on the Instagram and it was the most popular picture that we've ever had, you know?
Yeah, there was literally one specific one that was a Minnesota United jersey. We literally just threw it on the ground, took a picture and like 200 likes or something like that. Like, outperformed.
And then we ended up using that as an ad. And then like we took the ad targeted to Minnesota and we sold out all the shirts. Well, wow, perfect.
That's amazing. That's I think, like you said, like, yes, the deadline's important, but also like being able to identify those quick, let's call it quick wins where you literally put a shirt on the ground, take a photo, and then it becomes your ad campaign in a sense. That's great to know.
It's a lot of our mood too. Like, I would listen to a podcast on like Parma in the 90s, and then I'll do like a content piece on the feed because of that. Or we'll have a conversation about like, Giorgio Samaras playing for Rayo OKC, and then like that sparks an idea of when he was presented at a sports bar with like on the side there was like bingo happening, and then like on the other side he's this World Cup footballer is in Oklahoma places, like in a sports bar, like things like that. That is like, I just feel like I specifically in my contribution to Golasso lack a little bit of focus to, hey, so let's do three things well. Let's start doing them. Let's rinse, repeat. And then, you know, that's something that we're trying to, from now on, like solve, but also partner with people and with like-minded organizations that are in the same situation. So, you know, we have conversations with Gabriel from Club 11, like, hey, like we're two Latin guys that are freaking fighting our asses off for the same goal. Our goal is the same, which is grow the representativeness of immigrants, of Latin people, which is telling Latin stories, which is, you know, putting, you know, like giving more credit to the people that paved the way, you know, to the people that were here 40 years ago and packed MetLife Stadium, you know. We feel like only MLS matters nowadays, you know? So it's, so we're fighting the same fights. Let's do something together, you know? Let's sit down with other people and let's do something together. There's no reason why we're not doing things together. And I think that's what we want to do this year is do collaboration with people, with Kickoff Coffee, for example, Chris from Kickoff Coffee, Chris and Manly. Like, our goal is the same because our client is the same. Our client base is pretty much the same. So let's do something together. So we do something together with them. We do a giveaway. We do inserts in our packaging. So that's kind of what we're looking to do more this year is be more strategic with that. And you know, at the end of the day, that's going to be content for us, right? We started something that we've loved with Judah, which was the Untold Stories of Football Kids.
Yes.
Judah is, I think, and I can say this, Ivan, you've worked in the soccer industry for probably double that I have done. He has a gift, man. He has a gift, and he's freaking good. But we have to accept that he's dedicating his time and hours to another thing, mm-hmm. and pursuing other interests. So we haven't really solved that puzzle as well. Like, oh, how are we going to replace this very important piece of content that wasn't like an anchor for us? Mm-hmm. How are we going to replace it now? Because stories, we can tell stories all day.
Yeah,
like I can sit down here and tell stories to you all day, but we want to tell it in a certain way, package it a certain way, because
We want it to be appealing for people, you know, people who don't know who we are and they're seeing a video for the first time. We want to catch their interest, want to catch their eye. So we want to put out a product that's at a certain level.
A photo that people haven't seen, or a photo that, or a video that people haven't seen, or you know,
or a story they haven't heard, or
a story they haven't heard. Like, we started the content side is literally like, if I see another photo of Cristiano Ronaldo and Kleberson on their first day in Manchester United, I'm going to kill someone. If I see the photo of Paul Merson drinking beer, or of Robbie Fowler doing the cocaine line, or of a rooftop soccer place in Brooklyn, like, I'm going to strangle someone. So that's also kind of where this started. Like, and then European football, man, there's so many people saying so many things about European football. I have zero interest to talk about European football if there's not a tie-in or a cultural Latin someone that did something. It's just because there's so many people already doing it. And I think that niche that we were able to find was also, we ended up finding out that was the niche to our audience. You know, we can't sell Barcelona Real Madrid shirts for our lives. We can't. It doesn't move. Yeah. It's not what people want here.
It's a saturated market.
You know?
Yeah.
If you're going to buy one, you're not going to come to me to buy one, at least, you know?
Exactly. But from my understanding now, I feel like you guys, obviously through Golazo Kids, it seems that there's a bigger purpose out there where you're really catering to a specific demographic, or, you know, and wanting to shine a light on, you know, let's call it an area of the game that isn't receiving the love that it deserves. So that's truly remarkable. And if I were to tie it in with everything that you guys are doing, I feel like the project that you guys have right now and the flexibility that you're giving it as well is enabling you to kind of reach out and, just like you mentioned, like being able to collaborate with people that are, you know, looking at the same people or targeting the same people. And it's also for a greater goal. So that's kind of really interesting to see. And again, the shirt becomes kind of the message to convey and a way to convey a message. But essentially, you know, you've definitely identified what your opportunity was, in a sense. And you definitely also know what stories work for you guys. Because I like what you talk about, the different types of content that we see over and over again. And there seems to be this, like, and I'm on the same wavelength as you in that sense where, you know, every 6 months we'll see the same photo. And then it seems like it's a cycle where we're going to be able to see that same Maradona photo, that same Maradona juggling video, that same, like you mentioned, the Ronaldo Cleverson. Those are going to come on repeat because platforms are naturally fighting for attention like everyone else. So they'd much rather kind of jump into that easy, quick win, which, okay, it's going to give you engagement, but perhaps it's not going to tell the story. And more importantly, it's not going to help you reach the goal that you are looking to reach, right? So if you're able to dig in and do a bit more work, yes, it is. Might be a bit more research, might be a bit more time that you're investing it. But on, you know, for you guys, there's a direct return where you're either driving back traffic to your website, driving back interest into the products that you're selling, or just bringing eyeballs to what Golazo Kids is about, right? So that's something that's definitely something that you guys have identified. And yes, you know, there's going to be, I feel, you know, always a challenge to create more and more content, but I do feel that you guys are on this, you know, a right path in really identifying the stories that matter to your audience. And I think that's, you know, all to your advantage.
And Ivan, just to close the loop on another thing that we spoke about when we spoke last time, that which I think is good for people to know, which is you said something that stuck with me and I identified that was, hey, I'm not good at Photoshop, I'm not good at video editing, I'm not a good photographer, but you know what the end user wants to see, you know? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, if the means justify the end, it works. And that's something that we've learned. And like, I've always had a lot of imposter syndrome before all of this, you know, because I'm like, hey, do I really know shit or am I just here? And like, I get results for inertia, right? Mm-hmm. And then no, like we need to build a platform, build a brand, go out and get people. Man, it's hard to get a new follower, man. It's freaking hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to get a new follower, especially nowadays. Like, For us to be at like almost 5,000 to me is I can't believe it. Like I can't believe
it. I think it's worth mentioning. I don't think we spoke about it in this particular conversation, but we didn't invest any money in this.
Yeah, that
it was literally just 25 jerseys on my end, 25 jerseys on his end. Mm-hmm. And that's it, $0. And then we've just been building from there.
So to have gotten here,
yeah,
is crazy.
It's not like we started a business and we had, I don't know, $10,000 to put in and build a base. Like, no, there was nothing, you know. So we started with 20 followers and literally went one by one from there. So
I think that's something that isn't said enough, you know, right? Like I think the space that we're in, I think the amount of creatives, let's call them entrepreneurs and, you know, solopreneurs out there looking to just join football or try to find an idea of football, you know, I think I would like to think that most of them are like bootstrapping it, where they're just kind of putting in their time, very minimal investment in the sense of perhaps buying equipment or buying tools online and trying to get them to where they want to go. But essentially, yes, for most of these projects require minimal investment, but you need to put in the time. And I think, like you said, yes, you know, and I get that. I think we all get that imposter syndrome, no matter where we're at in, you know, in our journeys and our professional, you know, journeys as well. But what's the biggest takeaway at this point is, you know, if you're able to understand what the end goal is, so, you know, whatever end goal you're looking at, so in your case is building an online shop or whatever, if you're able to understand that, then you can kind of build the steps that are going to bring you there. So, you know, I did take a class about social media growing up. Like there wasn't a certificate about social media. There certainly wasn't a certificate about building content and, you know, playing around that industry. But, you know, if I'm using your example of building an online shop, I'm pretty sure you guys like went online and figured out by yourself and you were smart enough to look for help or, you know, search for tips and here and there. And now you have an online shop, and it's the same for, I believe, what is, you know, email marketing, same for social media. You kind of just try things out, see how you can work and then make it happen, right? So I think, like you said, yes, you know, we have that syndrome, we have that imposter syndrome, we'll always have it, but it's just to really kind of put yourself that you're able to accept that and then kind of push beyond that fake wall or fake barrier that exists, right? You know, if I'm leading with the question, like where, if you were to look at that journey so far, so it's been a year or a year and a half, and what you've achieved so far, what are you most proud of?
Today to the day, a year and a half.
Oh, really?
Congrats. Cheers.
We're most proud of. I think we're gonna have different answers for this. I don't know if you have that on top of your head right now.
The proudest moment for me was when we bumped into someone at a soccer store, started talking, you know, had a conversation. When we mentioned Golasso Kids, and the guy's like, "Oh yeah, I know you guys." I'm like, "Wait, what?" Yeah, I know that. Like, I know you guys.
Yeah,
I think insane. That was insane.
We were months in. We weren't even a year in. Just a random person in a store in Miami. Yeah, that was extremely, extremely gratifying.
Yeah. Another thing that makes me proud, both of us really, we love this, is when we sell a shirt that we maybe found from a collector in, I don't know, Georgia or someone in New Jersey, and the shirt goes back home. So a Benfica shirt that goes back to Lisbon, or a Maccabi Tel Aviv shirt that goes back to Tel Aviv, or a Bayern Munich shirt that goes back to Munich. Like, that for me is like, I even get goosebumps saying it. Like, it's, you did some, like, it's going back home, you know, and that means a lot. We've had a guy that was buried in a shirt of ours.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not a proud moment. It's something that you would think of, but like, think about that for a second. Like, the guy came to our store, his daughters found a shirt that we had, and the guy's in eternity forever with a Golasso Kids shirt there. And that was something that we were able to connect with the 2 points, because let's be honest,
yeah,
who would have had a Deportivo Quito shirt in their, yeah, store? That's like the 5th, 6th team in Quito.
Yeah, it's like a third. Today they're in like the 3rd, 4th division. So yeah, that was definitely a very powerful moment for us. All those moments are definitely shared. I share with Mateo, the very proud. Personally, I think I feel like my experience in working professional soccer has many times been very corporate. Many times I felt like, yeah, I work for a soccer team, but I might as well be working for a soap company right now, because, you know, a lot of people think that you're working for a sports team is going to be fun, and you're going to be doing all this stuff you love, and it's going to be such a light atmosphere in the office. And my experience, unfortunately, was the opposite. You know, it was very, very uptight and corporate, even though I was working in the soccer world. So when I walk in to this little office that we have now, and I spend 5, 6, 7 hours a day working on the jerseys, the TV next to me playing your conference league, you know, and like, those little moments where sometimes I look around and I'm like, man, I'm really happy, and I'm happy with what I'm doing. I'm happy that I got here. I'm happy that, you know, it's just the reality of the professional soccer world was not what I imagined when I got to it. And Golasso Kids became what I thought it was when I was a kid, you know? So I get a little dose of that every day, I think.
That's really amazing. I think all of those stories put together are just like a proof that you guys are definitely building a proper football story. And yes, I think, you know, to go back on that corporate side, yes, it is a challenge sometimes, where it's like a, you know, especially where, depending on your, and I'm not to compare people's passion, but, you know, depending on your level of passion for the game and your interest, it can become a bit of a weird situation you're in, because you're in a professional mindset where you want to build your career, but you're also passionate about the game. And I do feel sometimes that they don't go well together. So it's good that you're back and enjoying the game for what it is. And like you said, bringing it back to when you were a kid. So I think that's the purest form of passion for the game. You know, if there's one, maybe there's probably one person out there that's looking out at you guys and thinking, maybe I can do my own thing, and not necessarily being a vintage store, but I can do whatever I want to be doing in football. So if you're talking to that person, what would be like a one lesson or one like key takeaway that that you could share with them?
On my side, I would say to just be consistent, be tenacious and be consistent. Because it's easy to do something once, twice, 3 times, 20 times and not get the result you want. But, you know, maybe you're just like one more try away from reaching that goal, or from, you know, making whatever you're doing into like the best form of it possible and getting the best results from it. So, like Mateo mentioned earlier, he does more of the content side. I do more of the operation side. So I do a lot of the going after jerseys and finding more inventory. And I've basically been doing the exact same thing for a year and a half, and it's been getting a little better every day, every day, every day. And it's just been consistency, you know, and I've gotten a little better at it. I've been tweaking it. And today we have a very solid influx of jerseys. And so that would be my advice. Just be just be persistent. Be persistent. You know, like it's a grind. It's a grind. That's all it is. It's, you know, it's kind of cliche to say, but it's really true. You just got to go at it every single day. And then eventually you're going to look back and say, wow, I mean, you know, there's been progress.
For me, I think is not sound repetitive, but I think is taking that first step. The first step is going to be the hardest. So I think we sat and didn't do anything for this project for, I guess, a good part of a month and a half because we couldn't land on a name. Okay. So that was always the excuse. Oh, we don't have a name. We don't have a name. We don't have a name. I don't know. Blah, blah. Wait, where are you going to start? How are we going to start without a name? What is it going to be? What's the name? And then one day you're like, you know what? If we're going to keep waiting for the name to come, literally a month and a half passed. We haven't done anything. Let's go out and do it. And like I said, like the day that John told me like, oh, hey, I just opened the LLC. I'm like, oh, right. Like now
it's real.
It's real. Like yeah. I'm not gonna, you can't back down now. And all you have a lot of doubts. You have a lot of, you always like, at least I tend to always think of like the negative. Oh, it's not going to work because of this. Not going to work because of that. It's not going to work because of this. So just do it and see what happens. And I mean, like, I really can't, I don't know how to explain how this happened, like how we're here. Like it's hard to fathom till this day. Like there's people in my life that don't know maybe about this. And like, when I'm going to tell them, it's going to be like, what, wait, what? Like you, what, where, how, you know? So it's been a whirlwind for us, but that first day is what defined everything is, you know what? Now we're going. And then every single day after that is to solve a problem. So the first day was, okay, where are we doing the shop? The second one was, oh, okay, we can't do shit for graphic design. How are we going to solve this problem? And the third problem was, okay, now then the problems grow and the problems become more complex every day, right? Today, we're talking about storefronts. You know, a year and a half ago, we were talking about if we were going to go to Target to buy a second rack, you know, if you had the money for that.
Yeah.
By the way, racks are expensive. Huh? That's one thing we learned in business is how expensive racks are.
That's one massive takeaway from the industry. So that I didn't know that. I've never had to buy a full rack. So maybe that's going to be a big learning or something to share with
you. Keep that in mind in your next business choice.
So yeah, man, start being inclusive, be nice, be kind to people. Many times we've like over-delivered to a client or to someone just because, hey, you know what? This guy's going to be happy when he opens the package. And that's all that matters, you know? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, what we want is for someone to open that bag and have a happy memory of anything, you know, anything that leads back to their soccer story. And one other thing that inspires us is, like you were talking about what Pete was saying, but it's like, when I look at my collection, I know exactly who gave it to me, where they got it from, where it came from. And every single one has a story and that sticks with people, right? So if we can provide that for, I think it's been what, I mean, we're going to hit almost 3,000 orders. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like 3,000 different people have bought shirts from us. And it's like, you know, man, it's 3,000 people that hopefully open that little bag and feels what we feel when we buy shirts or when we're, or why we do this. And that's why we do this at the end of the day. You know, pricing is something that's so easy to criticize, but it's a hard thing to, it's a very hard thing for us to get to is the pricing of a shirt. I don't think anyone has ever sold a 2005 or 2000, what is it?
99
Peñarol shirt in the United States. So how do you price?
There's no standard. There's no benchmark.
How do you price that?
Yeah, there's no point of comparison. There's not a standard for it. It's not like you go online and there's like a table that you read and you're like, oh, okay.
I think the first one that we're like, okay, holy shit. Now, what do we do? Was a brand new with tags, but like pristine Nicaragua 2002 Joma jersey, Nicaragua. And we're like, there's absolutely no reference of, you know, not even, it was even hard to find what year it was.
Yeah, that was a struggle.
That's speaking to people from the Federation, imagine. And then it was like, so how much do you price this at? And then I'm sure we've started a market for this, and we've started to call out a market for these things, because, and then now people come to us for pricing, you know, and then they use us as a pricing comparison. But we paved the way because no one was doing this, you know. Classic football shirts is coming to the US with Real Madrid, with Barcelona, with Arsenal. Okay, do that. That's fine, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's we're trying to
go for it.
A big fish in a small pond. At the end of the day, we know it's a niche market, but it's one that no one's tapped into, and I think it's in somewhat of an obscure side of soccer for the average soccer fan. But you know, we're both soccer nerds. Like we love that side of soccer, and we love to watch it, to read about it, to talk about it. So,
and I think we didn't know how much we knew until we got into this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I knew. I had the idea of how much we knew about soccer jerseys before we got into this. Because I'm the type of guy that can look at that and say, look, that's fake. And that's valuable here, you know? It's a valuable skill to have in this thing. But I had no idea that I could put that to work, you know? So that's another tip that I would give, is sometimes your skills, you're not even going to know that you had them until years later. Like, Ivan, like, you're probably like, look, I should have, why didn't I always say that I should have been a strategist? Like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
But maybe you didn't know 10 years ago that that's what you wanted, you know?
That's true.
So this is a little bit.
And I, again, like, just hearing you talk about these, like, you understand the market, first of all. So, like, you've got a grasp on the market. You're definitely, in a way, also setting the tone when you talk about pricing, when you talk about what the value of a shirt is here. But you also are able to seek new opportunities, like you said. Like, if you're able to identify a real from a fake jersey, then that also becomes a great tool for you guys, right? So you have that tool that you can use internally for your own good, but also serve it as a tool for future customers, people that are shirt aficionados, people that are, and we've seen that a lot, like a lot of YouTubers who talk about shirts, and that becomes also a great tool for you guys. So again, like, I love how flexible Golazo Kits is at the moment, and how flexible it can get, and how well it can also expand in different areas. But yeah, I'll, again, hats off. I at this point, I can only wish you nothing but the best for Golazo Kits. I think there's going to be more jerseys in the back. Maybe at some point we won't even see you guys, because you'll just be stuck in between expensive racks. But essentially, I had a few questions that I wanted to share with you guys from the audience, or from the people that reached out. The first question is actually from Ricardo Avila, which I think you guys may know. And yeah, this question is, what is the toughest moment on the job so far? So maybe we can rephrase that and say, like, what's the toughest moment, like, on a daily or weekly basis for you guys?
Oof. I don't know if we've ever been asked that. It's a good question. For me, I mean, sometimes, you know, we go through periods where we don't get a sale for X amount of time that we would have expected to get one. And that's always a little worrisome, because they're always wondering, like, is it us? Is it just because this month is slow? Is it, you know, what is it? You know, but those days are a little tough when one day you go to the post office with a bag full of orders, and then next day you don't have any orders to ship. But I think that kind of goes back to what I was saying about being tenacious and just keep going every day and doing the same thing, and make sure to be consistent, because the longer you do something, the better you get at it, and the less frequent those tough moments become.
The toughest moment, I think, I just don't forgive these, is, I think, shirts that I'm not able to buy for a reason or another, or like deals that I'm not able to close. And then I'm always lingering, like, oh, wow, like, if I could have brought in these 5, 6, 7 shirts. There was a shirt specifically that I was looking at online, and it was a Napoli Maradona shirt before he passed away. And the guy was selling it for $180, and it looked legit. But I told him, hey, like, I need a photo of the tag. So I didn't see the notification of the guy that he had uploaded the photo of the tag. He uploaded the photo of the tag. The jersey was legit. Someone went and bought it from the moment that he uploaded the tag. And like, so that's for me was like a super tough moment, or another moment where we're like, oh, hey, you know, like, don't get that shirt. Like, it's probably nothing. And then we go back and like, oh my God, like, I can't believe it. Like, it's been happened more than once where now we pick it up and then see what happens. But it, like, the other day I found that like this guy that curates vintage, and he has like a little small sports rack, and I found like this DC United vintage polo, and I'm like, oh, let me buy this. Like, this is good. It's only, you know, $15. I get home, you know, I'm putting everything, because we take the pictures here in our little photo studio with the light, and I'm like, oh my God, this is their inaugural season jersey. It's not a polo. This is their inaugural season jersey. And it's like little things like that, that we learned from like a tough, tough moment, that we learned to like, you know what, it's better to come in here and then we do something else with the shirt if it's false or if it's not. The other one was a Columbia shirt.
Columbia Reebok.
Used only by the women's team, where it had one sponsor. And because of the sponsor, like, no, it's fake. And then we saw it after and it wasn't. So I think that's the toughest, is the deals that we're not able to close.
Yeah. A rule of thumb that we have now from experiences, it's better to make a mistake by doing something, by trying to do it, than from not doing it, you know? Yeah. It's better to have the we tried and it didn't work, then, oh man, I can't believe we didn't do it.
But I think it's easier to say that with, like, we have a bigger margin of error now. Back in the day, we had $200 and it was $200, you know?
If
you put $180 in a fake Maradona shirt, you're fucked.
You know?
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, yes, there is, like you said, maybe there's more space to make those mistakes, but again, action is always going to be better than inaction, right? So it's like,
yeah.
So we make mistakes every day, both of us, and it's fine. Like, that's how we're learning this, you know? And it's, that's the beauty of it, is because like, we're just so, again, going back to being grateful, we're so grateful for being here and we're so grateful for this journey that, and I think the financial part is important to discuss. It's not taboo. Like, I have to talk about it. I think because we didn't put any money in this and because the business has been able to grow itself, I think that takes off a lot of the pressure, you know, a lot of the pressure, because if we had put in some money to invest and we have to remake that, maybe we would be more unforgiving with each other. Maybe we would be, you know, but at the end of the day, this is where we are and we're freaking proud of it. And we have no idea where it's going to go, you know?
Yeah. Well, you guys will be the first ones to know.
We have the full scoop. I have one last question, and I believe that is it's a popular question that I got from actually two people, so Noah and Alessandro. And basically, they want to know the secret, the industry secrets, right? So they're like, how do you, or where do you source your kids, and how do you source your kids? You can choose to answer that or be, you know.
We've talked about it a lot, but John, like, this is your...
Yeah, we get asked that a lot, but we like to say that that's our secret sauce, right? That's
that's what
we told everyone how we did it. Everyone would open up their own stores. But at the end of the day, as we mentioned throughout this talk, both me and Mateo have worked in the soccer world for many years in both clubs and leagues. And I worked in ticketing. And so we've made contacts a little bit everywhere. And one thing leads to another. So there's a little bit of that.
That's another crazy thing. How one door, you open a door, it opens two more. It opens another more.
Yeah. And also today we have, you know, somewhat of a name in the market. So luckily it happens every once in a while that a collector knocks on the door and says, hey, you know, I got a couple dozen jerseys I want to get rid of. Are you guys interested? And so that's a source too. We tried
partner in California.
Yeah, yeah.
Partner because he partnered with us on curating stuff and sends here.
Okay. Yeah. So it's it's a people's market, really. It's about making content. It's about collaborating.
But also, it's, you know what? It's kind of like when people ask you how babies are made. I don't have to say how babies are made for you to know how babies are made. You know, where do you buy soccer?
I feel like it's a bit of a understatement to say, like, yes, you guys sell jerseys, but before all of that, like, you're building, you have to build your reputation in space. And then you had to also, you know, figure out, or how should I say, like, nurture these relationships as well. Like, you're, and it goes back to just being and it's the again the more cliches here, but it's, you know, just be nice to people that that cross your journey, right? So there's a genuine aspect to building these relationships, and then those, like you mentioned, will open doors, and doors, one door will open a second door, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel that, you know, how do you source kids is just meeting people and building these relationships. I'm going to give you the simple answer and the easy, politically correct answer, but
exactly.
So yeah, so if anyone listening that wants to open a business source, just start by building relationships with people. So, and then the rest, see, they'll be pretty easy, right?
Yeah, then it's just smooth sailing. It's downhill. It's easy.
Listen, guys, it's been a real honor to, you know, get a glimpse, or actually for you guys, get a full year recap of how Golasso Kits, the story of Golasso Kits has evolved at a tremendous pace for you guys. Couldn't be happier to see you guys with the background that I'm looking at. And also, it's really great to see how humble you are and how grateful you are to be in that space and to be in that, you know, in that mindset as well. So honestly, hats off to you guys. Like I said, I think we'll definitely be in touch for the future. And I think my wish is, you know, obviously I want to travel everywhere around the world right now. And I've been able to travel through the power of these conversations. But, you know, at some point I will want to travel to Miami and hang out in your, let's call it your Golasso Kits headquarters.
Absolutely. And Ivan, I just wanted to close off with two more things.
Go for it.
The first one is we still have that permanent forever withstanding offer to La Victoire member. So feel free to use and abuse that. That's going to be, you know, we're going to honor that forever. And the other thing is, look, I can't emphasize this enough. Like if you're a creator and you have an idea and you want to do something, like, reach out to us. We're super open. I have a rule of thumb that if we're going to work with someone, there always has to be cash involved. You know, I'm not going to do,
we'll pay you an exposure.
Exposure doesn't pay bills.
That's not to pay the bills yet. My kids would not be happy about the exposure.
So we do need, like, being very rawly honest, you know, we really do need the help on the creative side. And I think there's a lot of people, like you said, that have the appetite and have ideas, and that, you know, so if there's anyone in this community that wants to do something, man, let's do it. Like, let's do something together. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a beer. Let's have a coffee. Let's just not sit and waste opportunities anymore, you know, and that's what we're all about. Like, let's do cool things and see what happens. And that's a message that I want to give to the community is you can use our brand as a platform as well, you know, and let me give you an example. Like, we work with a extremely talented photographer. That's Carlo, that we met through Club 11. He's extremely, extremely, extremely talented. We love him. He has a crew, and him being introduced to us led to other introductions, that he was able to get other jobs and other opportunities already. And it's things like that. Like Judah, for example, Judah was a guy that tagged us in an Instagram video. I loved him. I reached out to him. He did some work for us, and he already did more work for other brands in soccer because of that. And like, just reach out, like just to say hi, just to say, hey, I have a project or I have something. Like, if you're someone that works in this space, reach out, and maybe there's something we can do together.
For sure. I'll definitely put out a message for that, and we'll definitely, there's going to be attention and interest from people. I'm pretty confident of that. Listen, guys, it's been great. It's been really a lot of lessons again, a lot of great, great stories. And man, I honestly just wish you nothing but the best moving forward. I think you guys have an amazing, I want to say idea, but this is more than an idea. Like, you have an amazing brand right now that you're going to push it to its, you know, to its limits and then beyond that. But yeah, all the best. And thank you so much for sharing this conversation with me, and hope to see you in Miami.
Yes. Thank you so much for giving us the space, for allowing us to tell our story. And, you know, we wish you the same and more.
And if we're bugging you to know more the nitty-gritty details about Montreal supporters culture, you know that you have someone that's going to ask those questions.
That's perfect, guys. Thank you so much.
Ivan, thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to talk. All the best.
Hope you enjoyed these conversations with our guests, Matteo and John from Golasso Kits. Make sure to visit golassokits.com or read the show notes to learn more about Golasso Kits. That's it for today. I would say just to keep building your football story. Hope you found inspiration from that conversations as you're building your own journey in football. And again, don't forget to celebrate all the small wins. Cheers. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave a 5-star rating or a positive review on your favorite platform. It's how I can share this podcast with more football friends like you. If this is your first time listening to Small Wins, subscribe to the podcast so that you can get the next episodes delivered automatically every week. Make sure you check the show notes to access all the relevant links and learn more about how La Victoire FC can help you build a successful journey in the football industry.